over this music.
What is the studio? You hear this. What happens?
It gives me chills.
Sure it does.
And so does the guy who's in the studio, one of the two, Michael Rooker, who is, of course, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and the guy who gave us Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, John McNaughton.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. I just have to say, John, when you were on here a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about it, I had said, it's a work of art. You have to see it. And we got a couple of texts from people saying, why would you tell people to see that movie? It is awesome. It's intense. It is different, but it is a beautiful work of art.
I hope so. Like I said, I didn't go to film school. I went to art school. So
it's a piece of art.
You know, and if you go to L.A., they make entertainment. And that's great. And I love entertainment. But unfortunately, I went to art school. And I'm going to end my career by saying, to me, it was a work of art.
It really was.
You don't work in L.A. if you tell them you want to do art.
Michael, at the time of the movie, you were a stage actor, right? Had you done a film yet, or is this your first film?
It's my first film.
It was your first.
I had done little bits and pieces of gigs, movies, or TV shows that had come into town. You know, yeah. Like all the Chicago actors would do. You know, they do theater mainly, and if they got a little day player kind of gig, you know, they'd go do it. You know, and so that's what I'd been doing up to that point, and so this is my first real. Any kind of character with any sort of through line or any, so it was very cool.
John had shared with us the story about how they had seen other actors for the role, for the title role, and nobody quite did it, but then you walked in and all of a sudden everybody knew you were the guy. What was that like on your end? Did you know right away this was going to be a life-changing part?
No, not at all.
No?
No. I mean, there wasn't even a script. Right, you guys.
No, gave we had
me
a script. We had a script. By the way,
I didn't see a script. They
we
only
were writing the script.
They only gave me like a couple of 3x5 cards.
Right? No, that's it.
I don't remember specifically, but Richard and I were up in his apartment writing the script.
Yeah.
So perhaps the script wasn't done yet.
It hadn't been done yet. So I hadn't.
Interestingly, we did finish the script when we brought the actors in for rehearsals. But since it was, you know, everybody except for me was from theater.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of weeks rehearsals. But, you know, Richard Fier, who was very much a man of the theater, said, well, you'll all have to write character bios. Well, Michael kind of balked at that. So Michael did a character bio on tape, you know, and brought it back. But what was interesting, each one of the three, Michael, Tommy, and Tracy, stuff that they had written in their character bios, we weave back into the
you
script.
You incorporated it back into the
yeah.
script.
And that to me is like, then the roles are custom tailored
sure.
to the actor, and you can't beat that.
Yeah.
But you didn't tell them the real, the behind the scenes story about how I taped.
I'll let you tell that one.
I was so upset and sort of like, oh, geez, please. I did it as I was on the commode.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's
perfect.
I was a little like, I'll give them a bio. Here's their bio.
All right, so it's the 30th anniversary, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., AMC River East Theater, the 4K restored version of this movie. Is it going to look different, John?
We tried to just, you know, clean up, but to get it to look exactly like it was intended to look in the first place. This was never meant to look slick and polished. So, me and Steve Jones and I, I went to
yeah, you get
school on the South
English
Side,
people.
So you have to forgive me. But we supervised the color correction and the audio remix. And, you know, it's like I say, we didn't try to make it look better or slicker or, you know, we try to make it look like what it was supposed to look like in the first place without the deleterious effect of the years.
And a little Q&A going on after the film?
I believe so.
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
What's the question you usually get?
Say it like you mean it, Michael. Yeah, we're going to have fun.
What are you usually asked about this film? When people know that you're involved with it, what do they tend to ask you more than anything else? Is there one thing that just keeps coming up over and over again?
The first thing that comes up is the look.
Yeah.
There's a look.
Yeah.
And you know, almost every time I know they're going to say Henry. You know, there's a different look for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
A little more polished,
you're in better
maybe.
Shape now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for Henry, there's a certain look, and it's a certain body language, and I know, and I go, yeah, I know, right?
Don't you
thought
think...
I was taller.
Don't you think Henry falls into this? Like, people who go to the movies to be scared, yeah, the Wolfman's scary, and Frankenstein and Dracula's scary, but we all know somebody who could potentially be Henry, you know, and that's what makes him even scarier.
Well, I'm going to jump in here, and I remember, I don't think it was me that asked Michael, but somebody asked Michael in my presence, well, how did you ever, you know, be able to become that character? I mean, to get into that head. And he just, Michael just looked, he says, I said, I had an uncle that was just like that.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Yeah, I got a couple uncles that were like that.
And where are you from originally?
Similar kind of body language in
Alabama
originally. Yeah.
And you moved here as a teen?
Yeah, when I was 13.
Yep.
Yeah, I grew up mainly over Devon and... Division Ashland.
Yeah.
Over by Pulaski Park. I went to Wells High School.
In the serial killer district.
Yeah. Right? That's right. That's
I know
right.
that area pretty
okay.
well.
Okay, and the actor who played Otis, the late, great, what is his name?
Tom Tolles.
Tolles is how you say it. He was amazing in that film.
Tommy Tolles came out of theater, too. It's interesting. He died last year, and we went. He had two services, one in L.A. and one here, and we went and scattered his ashes on Lake Michigan and then went back, and his family had... put together this whole slideshow presentation of Tommy's career before he was in movies, when he was in theater, and it was nothing like his movie career.
Not
he played these
he
magnificent
great,
fantasy
great
characters,
actor,
and he was
actor.
Just he was, you know, I didn't realize the characters he'd played as a theater actor. It was just, you know, and I think it's our fault we sent him off on a career of playing lowlifes and, you know, scoundrels. But
because the typecasting
amazing
happened after that,
fantastical characters,
right?
Yeah,
pretty much. Not for you, though, Michael. I mean, you went a different route than Henry after that was released.
Well, I had to. You know?
Yeah,
where
do you go?
Are you kidding me?
I guess, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, I've done that. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I pass, you know.
That took a lot out of you, didn't it?
To pass on
to
a
be
gig?
Henry,
to pass on a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but
that takes a lot of days.
But you know, that's what I mean. I mean, you get offered. People remember you from the last thing you did.
Yeah,
sure.
And so Henry was so memorable. I mean, I have people coming up to me 30 years later saying, "Oh my God, I couldn't even walk to my car afterwards after seeing that screening." So, you know, it really moved people, and it's still in their psyche somewhere back there in their brain that, you know, I've lost gigs because of that movie.
Oh, no.
And I've gotten gigs because of the movie, you know.
How do you, though, when you spend time playing a character like that, how do you shake that at the end of the day? I know you're an actor, and I know you put in your time, but when you're done playing a guy like that, when you're driving home and you're finally home, how do you not be that guy for a while?
Well, you know, I tried very diligently to stay in character all day long.
Yeah?
While I was playing the role.
Yeah.
And I would, they prepared a little room for me, you know.
The Henry
and,
room.
And I'd go and I'd sit in my room and wait until they say, you know, okay, we're ready, and knock on the door, and I'd come out and do the scene, then go back into my room.
Yeah.
And the room that I got had mirrors all around. So I put paper all over the mirrors, I remember, because I didn't want to look at myself, and I had them. I don't think I used the light bulb. I sat in the dark, and hung out until they came for me, and then I would do it. And so that's what I did all day long. So after my day was over, I made a very diligent effort to just sort of clear myself and just you know, kind of get back to normal.
Sure.
As normal as you could be.
As normal as you could be. You know, it's a very interesting role. It's a very a tough role to play. And so I wanted to sort of clear myself before the next day's work.
John, do you think the message of the film would have been diminished if you would have included a wacky outtakes reel during the closing credits?
There we have, you know, somewhere they exist. Believe me, somewhere they exist.
That we'll never see.
Nobody should see that.
Oh, yeah. My favorite. Well, I'll just describe a scene. We had to cut it out, but there was this, you know, one of the ideas of the film was that, you know, it's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah.
So at one point, Henry and Otis have coming home from killing somebody, and lo and behold, some guy's broken in, and he's got Becky, and he's raping her, basically.
Yeah.
So Michael, Henry beats the hell out of him and heaves him out the window.
Yeah.
He and Otis pick him up and heave him out the window. And when you see that scene, not the rape part, but heaving him out the window is funny.
You know,
they just beat him senseless and pitch him out the window.
Out the window.
And it's just like, no, we can't.
Henry, it worked way better for having to have Otis.
Yeah.
Rapist. System.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then it's, you know. It's
then
just,
it's, yeah, then it's really.
It's really.
But there was a moral compass to Henry and Otis, I guess.
Well, to Henry, but not to Otis.
And Otis. Otis had, yeah, no, all right, good
that's
point.
What, you know, Otis made Henry look good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
Henry
what's
was,
one
Henry
of the very
was
shocking
Otis's
things.
Moral yeah. compass.
That's it.
I'm surprised Disney even agreed to make this movie, aren't you? Shocking, isn't it?
We have to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Michael Rooker's here, John McNaughton's here. We're talking about Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's the 30th anniversary, and you can see a restored version. It's stunning. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, in the studio right now, we're continuing our little lovely chat with actor Michael Rooker and director John McNaughton. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, has been restored, and the premiere of the 4K restored cult classic Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, tomorrow night, 9 p.m., AMC River East Theater. And you can go to chicagofilmfestival.com. Is that the best place to tell people to go? Or does Henry have a website, henryportraitofaserialkiller.com?
Yep.
All right. You can find out all that information. Michael, let's talk The Walking Dead. I was telling you off the air. I wasn't into it. I didn't want to watch it. My 13-year-old son, 2 years ago, so 11 at the time, you got to watch this, Mom. I'm telling you, this is the best thing on TV. I don't want zombies. It's more about zombies. It's relationships. It's survival. That's coming from a little kid. I love that. You were great.
Yeah, 13-year-old, you know. So it gets him ready for any sort of emergency.
Oh,
you know,
he has water
example,
stashed.
If there's a zombie apocalypse here in Chicago, mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Mm-hmm.
He asks us that.
Mom, what's your weapon of choice, Mom?
No, he said, Mom, you're going to last 30 seconds. You're going to be in a fetal position crying. I said, that will be me. I'm not even going to fight these zombies.
I keep a pizza cutter on me at all times, Michael, just in case. I don't
I keep a beer bottle opener on me at all times.
Oh, that's a good one. And Guardians of the Galaxy, great job. You are busy.
Yes, yes, yes. It's nice to be busy. Could be working, and I have a good time doing it. So, I'll just keep going until I drop.
Hopefully many years in the future.
Many years.
Many years in the future.
From now. Yes.
When there's a show, though, that you're on, a hit show like Walking Dead, and you're quick spoiler alert, you might not be as big a part of it now as you were a couple of years ago. Do you still keep in contact with the show? Do you still watch the show and want to see where the characters go?
You know, I do. I'm still a fan of the show. I all my friends are still on it. And,
yeah.
And it's good to see what's going to happen and what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I wonder who Negan got. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. You got it. You know what? You're still thinking about it, even though you're not. You're pretending like you're not thinking about it.
Oh, I'm thinking about it all the time.
And who do you think is going to get it?
I can't say. Yeah. I don't want to do spoiler
alerts.
Don't
worry. It's not a spoiler. It's your opinion. You don't know the answer.
If it follows the comic book, which it has been.
Well, it's Glenn, right? Yeah.
That's what everybody's thinking.
Book, yeah. But you never know. They don't always follow the comic book.
That's what I like about that show. Yeah. You never know what to expect.
That's right.
What a fervent fan base. I mean, the people who love the show, they know everything about the show. It's
amazing. Well, it stems from horror. Horror fans are very loyal. The fan base for horror is great.
Yeah.
They're never going to disappear. They love you forever, no matter how bad you are.
Yeah, right.
They're very accepting.
And they're very accepting and loving. And so Henry, for example, and it stemmed right into George Romero's, 9 of the Living Dead, now we got The Walking Dead.
It all ties in.
It's awesome stuff.
All right, so based on that, this question is for both of you. You've scared so many people over the years. What movie or television show has really scared you?
Great question, Bill.
Thank you.
Were you up late thinking
of
that?
Yeah, I thought about that at
2 a.m. There was an episode of Thriller that Boris Karloff used to host years ago.
The anthology show?
When I was a kid, and it was about this painting of the Grim Reaper, but it would keep going whoosh, whoosh, and it would kill people. It would slice them to pieces. And
the painting would come alive?
Yeah, the painting would come alive. So anyway, when I was a kid, it's just like I had nightmares forever and ever and ever. And I saw it as an adult, and it was silly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
mine is like, I The actress's name is Black. Her last name
Karen
is
Karen Black. Black.
Karen Black.
Oh, yeah.
She did an episode where this little kind of native, African yep. native doll comes to life.
Trilogy of Terrors. Right.
And I absolutely adore that. When I was a kid and I watched it, I saw it.
Yeah.
I was like jumping
That's
out of
crazy.
My seat.
That's Dan okay? Curtis, the guy who did Dark Shadows yep. and Kolchak the Night Stalker. That's yep. his work, Trilogy of Terror.
Good
really
stuff.
Scary. Yep. Yeah. So scary.
That's a great.
And I love the Twilight Zones. Did you get into that and stuff too? The Hitchhiker. I love that one. Scares me. It's freaky stuff.
The Twilight Zone is one of my favorite stuff. That's my. I used to get the Twilight Zone magazine.
Yeah,
I got
yeah,
that.
Read the stories.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Carol, his wife, Rod Serling's wife, put that out for several years. Really good.
And what was the movie? Was it Night Must Fall, the British movie where the ventriloquist dummy comes alive?
Dead of Night. Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting
really
ready to write
good
a,
movie.
Write a, Right,
that was Michael Redgrave. Yeah. He was in that.
Listen to you just whipping out the names.
You know.
Oh, the guy who did Dark Shadows. That was his stuff. And Kolchak the Night Stalker.
I know some stuff.
He knows his stuff.
He's a fan.
He is a fan. As soon as he said Karen Black is the queen of all that, really. She did a great job. And if you've not seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, because I didn't see it on the big screen, and I got to be honest with you, I'm thankful the first time I saw it, I didn't, because it would have been too much. Mm-hmm. Too much. But now you can see the 4K restored classic Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's all happening tomorrow night at 9, AMC River East Theater on East Illinois. You can just go to Michael Rooker online. That's the easiest place to tell people to go, because all that information is out there. And Michael, you love your fans. You see tons of Instagram and Facebook posts of you just eating it up when these fans love you at all these places you are.
Well, you
you're
know,
so
go,
good to
go
them.
We go to these events and just have a blast. We have an absolute blast at these things. And this, the Chicago Film Festival is, I was just talking with John a few minutes ago before we came in here. Henry, first time I was ever seen was
at the festival.
Was it really?
At the Chicago Film Festival.
Wow.
Back in 1986.
Yeah, we had all we had was a 3/4 inch video cassette, which was, you know, we had to change it over. But the festival didn't have 3/4 inch projector, so we had to go rent one and set it up and pay out of pocket. And I think it was $175, which neither of us had at that in those days. Set it up in the music box, 2:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon, October 25th, 1986. And from that point on, things changed.
It's amazing.
Then we're at Telluride.
Yeah.
And then everything just went.
Sure. Roger Ebert then saw it at Telluride, put it on his 10 best list. But I do want to say thanks to Michael Kutza, who is the person who runs and, you know, the festival is, the Chicago Film Festival is founded by him and he runs it to this day. You know, and he gave us that break in 1986. That was, and that was the beginning.
If you haven't seen it, you have to see it. You really do. It's Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. You can go to chicagofilmfestival.com, michaelrookeronline.com. Find out it's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
We filmed it right in my old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The gangs were out one night.
Tell them, yes.
The late Richard Fire, who was the co-writer with me, was trying to calm down the gangs. And Richard was, like you say, a man of the theater. He wasn't a gangy type guy. They were about to kill him.
Seriously.
You know, yeah, they were about to. And Rooker came out, and he knew all of them. So it's true. It's absolutely
true. He's the peacemaker.
It was. They came in. They cornered us in that alley.
Yeah.
They cornered us in the alleyway. They wanted to know where the big mouth was. They're going to take him out. And I'm like, he's there. He's right there. But can you not take him out yet? We need him for another 2 weeks.
Then he's yours.
So we finish the movie. Then you can have him. Please, take him. And they were like, and one of the guys goes, Animal. That you? That was my nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as Animal.
Bill, do you want to tell him we have to take a break?
No, that's your job.
Got to take a break. Yes. Okay, we got to take a break, guys. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
Michael Rooker, John McNaughton, it's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.